Scripture readings are Luke 9, 23, and then James 1. Just to and some of those verses look familiar. They were also on the docket for last week. Just to kind of update, obviously we're here this week. Next week, Guy family will be on vacation. And then the 27th will be our last Sunday here, officially. For those of you here last Sunday, a little emotional last Sunday. I have some sense that the 27th will have its share of emotion. We will endeavor to be as incredibly normal as possible today. All right. So Luke 9:23. Jesus says the following: If anyone would come after me, if anybody wants to belong to me, if anybody wants to be a follower of Christ, if anybody wants to be a Jesus person, if anyone wants to be a Christian, if anyone would come after me, let him or her, let that person deny himself and take up his cross. And there's a very important word: daily. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. And then as you're turning, we are going to read from James. So turn to James. But we will not read just yet, but we will get there so that we will be at the ready for those who like to follow. James 1, which you may find on page 1011 in the Pew Bible. I'm sorry, we'll go ahead and read that. We'll go ahead and read. But we will reference it back, so if you'd like to read along, just hold that open. But we'll read it. We'll read it now. James 1, 22, page 1011. But be doers of the word, James 1, 22, page 1011 in the Pew Bible. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That is, if you just hear it and don't do it, you're blind to yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, that person is like one who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. You look in a mirror. And then he looks at himself and goes away and forgets what he was like. And we will be kind of exploring that metaphor. I think it's a great metaphor. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the Word of God, the law of liberty, the Word of God brings freedom, actually, and perseveres, gets after it, for lack of a better way of saying it, takes up his or her cross daily, perseveres. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, that person will be blessed in his doing. That ends the reading of God's word for the morning. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we confess it is your Holy Spirit that has inspired the recording of these words. We pray now that he would be in our hearts and minds and souls to teach us what the word has to say, and to enable us to live as the Word teaches. Focus us then, Lord God, not on our flesh, but upon your body and our place in it. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. At least one thing was left out of the announcements today, and that was on purpose, and that is that we are rejoining our Sunday night activities tonight, 6 o'clock for dinner, 6:40-ish for Bible study. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that project in particular, and the project of getting together and reading the Bible and hanging out with other Christians and talking about it in general. It's a great thing. It's an incredibly important thing, because I think we're susceptible to the idea that we show up at church on Sunday morning, and by the way, church on Sunday morning is a great thing. We show up to church on Sunday morning, and we have an experience of some kind. It's exciting, it's entertaining, it's boring, okay? It's guilt-producing, it's enthusiasm-producing, it may be some mix of these, it may be something else. And we come, and we experience that, and we leave, and we lunch. And then we say, you know, I hope it will be the same or different next Sunday. And that is not taking up our cross daily. Here is one of the things that we do on Sunday night, and one of our little mantras for Sunday night. And again, it could be Sunday night, and it, you know, downstairs at our place, it can be a Bible study you're doing or a discussion you're doing with your Christian friends. It could be in another church. It could be with another group. But the concept is this. One of the things that we say over and over on Sunday night is, how do we take this to Monday morning? And I'd like to go ahead and add one more thing to this, that too. How do we take it to Saturday night? How do we take it to Friday night? How do we take it to Tuesday at lunch? That's what it means to take up your cross daily. To say, what does it look like? What does my Christian faith look like on Monday morning and Saturday night and everything in between? Because here's one of the great mistakes that Christianity has made and that the human religious experience has done. The humans, as relates to religion, have said there are things in life I understand. I understand this, I understand that, and there's this great list of things and all these experiences in my life which I don't understand. I don't understand where those come from. And so God is responsible for that. This is not just Christianity. This is, you know, what makes the volcano erupt, or what makes the sun come up and down, or what makes the crops grow. And these things that we don't understand, well, God explains that. And that's one of the main things that God does, is explain the things that we don't understand. Well, one of the things that's happened to religion in general, and Christianity in particular, is that we understand more, right? Where diseases come from, how fax machines work, right? Why the sun does what it does. That God gets pushed to the edge. And that is so incredibly unbiblical. Because when you get into the meat of the Bible, when you get into what Jesus says, here's how to handle your money, here's how to treat your friends, here's how to treat the strangers among you, here's how to treat your enemies, here's what success looks like, here's what love looks like, here's what a good life looks like. When you go back into the Old Testament laws, here's how to wash your pots, here's who you can sleep with. Here's what you're supposed to do with your money. Here's what a good life looks like. The God of the Bible says, I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of everything. We wake up in the morning if we're being faithful to this God. And we wake up in the morning and we say, make yourself number one. You're my creator and savior. Make yourself number one. And influence, I dare say it, even control, Christ, control my understanding of what success is, my understanding of what a good life is, my understanding of who my neighbor is and how to love them, my understanding of what my money's for, my understanding of what my body's for, my understanding of what my days are for. That's what it means to take up your cross daily. To say at the beginning of the day, take over. At the beginning of the week, at the beginning of the year. We always talk about, you know, one of my favorite things that I noticed when I moved here, you know, New Year's Day is not January 1. New Year's Day is the first day of school. It's when the new year really starts. What am I going to do with this year? That Christ said, his example, his teachings, this is how we measure what good is. That's both at the beginning of the day, the beginning of the week, the beginning of the year, the beginning of today is the first day of the rest of your life. But also the criteria by which we look back and judge. The criteria by which we look back and judge this. Was this a good day? Was this a good interaction? Was this a good week? Was this a good year? Was this a good budget? Was this a good, I look at my date book, a good spending of my time? In this interaction, did I treat this person in a Christ-like manner? That's what it means to take up your cross daily. Not to put Jesus on the edge. The list of things I'm going to miss is incredibly long. And here's one of the things I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss all those Bible studies where we say, what do y'all want to talk about? And just as much, I'm going to miss all those youth groups where we say, what do y'all want to talk about? And here's one of the things I love about our teenagers for the past 23 years. If you really ask them, they will tell you. And it is not on the edge. It is right in the middle. It is right in the middle of what's on their heart and right in the middle of what's on their mind and right in the middle. And they are great at that. How does Jesus interact with how I'm interacting with this person? How does Jesus want me to respond to this situation? How does Jesus want me to love my neighbor? How do I honor Jesus with what I'm thinking about or what I'm doing? That, my friends, is taking up your cross daily. You know, one of the great, 500 years ago, Protestant Reformation, every now and then we talk historically about the Protestant Reformation. One of the great emphases of the Protestant Reformation is that every work that a human being can do is God's work. Calvin and Luther were great on this. Here's a Luther quote, a Luther story. You know, Luther, when he was talking about how every job matters, he would talk about, you pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. So when we get fed, we're saying, thank you, God. You know, one of the basic habits of Christianity is we pray before meals in some form of acknowledgement that God is feeding us. And Luther made this great observation. He says, yes, God feeds us. Now, how does God go about doing that? When he was talking about the importance of everyday work. He says, I'll tell you how he does it. The milkmaid, right? That young lady that's getting up early in the morning, squeezing the udders of the cow, providing your milk, is doing the work of God in a way that a priest does not, in the way that a nun does not. She is doing the work of God. And the teamster, he said, not the Jimmy Hoffa teamsters, but the original teamsters, right? With a team of horses that's bringing the milk to you the next time you get mad at those truck drivers on I-81 and they are out there, all right? They are doing the work of God, bringing something you probably need to you. The idea that God is at work in the middle of everyday life so that if we get up and we go to work and we say, this isn't meaningful to me, this isn't doing anything for me, then one of two things is happening. Either one, or needs to happen. One is we need to recognize what God is doing in us and how He is using us. And we need to share that with each other and remind ourselves of that. Or we need to say, yes, this is frustrating, and yes, I don't see what God's doing, and I need to have the courage and the trust to go find something that is meaningful to me. Because God has something more for me than 5 o'clock on Friday or vacation or retirement. He wants himself, he wants to be in the middle of every day and bring you joy every day. And that's one of the things we do on Sunday night. Or you can do in your own Bible study. You can do with your other people. How do we get it to Monday morning? What does it look like? What does it look like on this situation at work? Or what does it look like as I'm raising my children? Or as I'm interacting in the community? What does it look like? What does it look like on Monday morning and Saturday night? And here's the other thing that I think we do on Sundays that needs to happen. And you need to find your way for this to happen. Our prayer begins, help us get better. Help us get better. Help us get better at following Christ. The goal of coming to church is not to hear it or be merely to feel it, although those matter. The goal is to be changed by it. Changed by the gospel. How do we get better? I had this story planned. I have a dear friend. We talk about Will and I play sports, and one of the things that you've heard me say many times is that Will, one of the things that my son has inherited from me is that both Will and I have the foot speed that is tailor-made for golf. It's tailor-made for golf. And so Will is playing these sports where it would be helpful if he were a little faster. And so I have this friend who's very good at running fast and knows how to run fast and ran fast in college and can teach people how to run fast. And we were talking about some things that he would show Will how to do to get fast. And I said, you can make Will fast? And he says, no, I cannot. I can't make everybody fast, but I can make everybody faster. And my friends, that is a great story for the Christian life. It is not your job as a Christian to become perfect. That is the Holy Spirit's perfecting work in you. And one of our favorite phrases is Philippians 1:6, where it talks about he who began a good work in you will see it to completion. And he will complete you. And he will perfect you. But one of the marks that we love Christ is that we are committed daily to getting better. I know some extreme outliers on both sides of this continuum, but the vast, vast, vast majority of us are in a certain category. Here are the outliers. I know a couple of people that work hard at absolutely everything, no matter what you put in front of them, no matter how much they want to do it or don't want to do it. They seem to work hard as a habit like breathing. They are exceptionally rare. There are also some outliers on the other end who are, quite frankly, pathologically lazy, that don't seem to care about anything. But the vast, vast, vast majority of us show what matters to us and what we love by whether or not we work hard at getting better at it. That is how you know you love someone or something, like the fabulous Helen Hunt, Jack Nicholson movie here. How do you know you love somebody? The lovely Helen Hunt, right? And Jack Nicholson is like interested in her, and they don't really seem to mix. And she says, why in the world are you interested in me? What does he say? He says, you make me want to be a better man. That is how you know you love someone or something. You want to get better at it, or they make you want to be better. And so the challenge for the honest Christian is, man, I love being saved. I love the idea of being loved by God and going to heaven and all that, which I'm a big fan of. The mark of the honest Christian of integrity is, am I showing that love that you make me want to be a better woman or you make me want to be a better man, Jesus Christ? And I want to work at it daily. And I want you to make me faster. I want you to make me better. And that's why I love that little metaphor that's in James, right, about the mirror, right? And he's talking about being a hearer of the word. It's not merely a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And he says, don't be foolish like somebody who looks in the mirror and then forgets. You can show up at school, or you can show up at work, or you can show up wherever it is you're going to show up tomorrow, and you can do two foolish things, and one of them is almost infinitely more foolish than the first. Here is the first, and I don't know what you guys look in the morning. This is one of the reasons why I've gone with the shorter hair. Because when I had the longer hair and I got up and it was just like everywhere and the sleepy in the eye and little drool stains coming out every now and then. All right. Sorry, too much information. All right. But you wake up and you look in the mirror in the morning and you do something about it. Now, here are two ways to be foolish. One is for you to show up wherever it is you show up. The hair, the eyes, the face, the makeup, the no makeup, whatever it is you do, and not have done one thing about that. And you show up and they go, hey, what happened? Oh, I forgot to look in the mirror today. My goodness gracious, let me get home. That is one way to look foolish. But here's a way to look almost infinitely more foolish. To show up at work that way with the hair, with the drool, with the sleepy, with the whatever, and they say, hey, what happened? It's like, did you not look in the mirror? I said, oh, absolutely, I looked in the mirror. And this is what I'm going with. And see, that's what James says we do. He says you look into what is the mirror? I'm going to tell you what the mirror is. The mirror is provided by the Holy Spirit. The mirror is two things. One is the law and the word of God. And the other mirror, and here's what else is going on Sunday night or the group of your choosing, your Christian sisters and brothers who you have allowed to say, I see anger, I see envy, I see jealousy, I see meanness, I see indifference to suffering, I see whatever it is you see. That is the mirror. And here is what James says is unbelievably foolish. It's foolish not even to look in the mirror, not even to look in the Word, not even to listen to your Christian friends. But what's even more is to look at it and study it and see who our Lord wants us to be and say, you know what? I'm just going with me. I'm just going with my plan. It is far more foolish than showing up wherever it is you show up without looking in the mirror and then doing something about it. That is what James is saying. He deserves that from us. He deserves that from us. Because if we want to be people of integrity when we come to this table and we appreciate the life and salvation, then he deserves that we take up our cross daily and get better. Now, to close with this. You may or may not have interpreted the last 2 or 3 or 4 minutes of, if you're not working as hard as you can to get better as a Christian, you need to feel guilty. It is absolutely not my intention for you to feel guilty. A very selfish reason for not wanting you to feel guilty. The reason why I don't want you to feel guilty is because it doesn't do any good. Guilt doesn't make it to Monday morning, and guilt doesn't make it to Saturday night. You do not run on guilt. Real love and real joy do not run on guilt. Jesus Christ has no interest in making you feel guilty. The gospel has an interest in making you aware of your guilt. You are guilty. I am guilty. But the great good news of the gospel is that your guilt has been removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So enjoy that. No matter what you've done or what's been done to you, that guilt has been removed by the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have no interest in anyone feeling guilty because it doesn't do any good long term. If you find yourself, or there are times when I find myself and I don't really feel that interested in giving Jesus Christ my best, do not feel guilty. What I would encourage you to do is to look at the cross and look at the love and look at the sacrifice and look at how badly He loves you and how badly He wants you in His kingdom and how badly He wants you to have joy and peace. And I think you should be moved by that. That will change Monday morning. And that will change Saturday night. And that will give you joy. For those of you who stayed open to James 1:25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The human beings are incurably self-centered. And it is not the gospel's interest to tell you not to be self-centered. I would argue it is the Holy Spirit and the gospel's work to tell you, convert your self-centeredness. You can never stop wanting what you think is good for you. The conversion of the Christian includes the understanding that following Jesus Christ will make me more joyful. It will make me more content. It will make me less afraid. It will make me more courageous in the face of fear or difficulty or evil. Secondly, one of your great interests is to be a blessing to the people that you love and that are around you. That is one of your great self-interests. The good news of the gospel is that the more you let yourself be shaped like Jesus Christ, the greater blessing you will be to the people you love. Here's one of the great witnesses of the Christian. When a Christian can have such joy and compassion and honesty and integrity and courage that a non-believer will say, you know what, I don't believe everything they believe, but boy, I like it when they move into my neighborhood. Or I wouldn't mind if my daughter married one. Or I want to hire as many as I can. Or I'd like for one to be my boss when they're doing it right. You have a great self-interest in being a blessing to the people around you. When you have the servant attitude and the courage and the love of Christ, you will be an incredible, you will be a better everything you try to do. And when your self-interest is changed like that, then the thing that you were born to do, which is honor your Maker and your Savior, you will do so naturally and you will do so freely that you won't even notice. And the three things that you were made to do, which is honor God and be a blessing to your neighbor and enjoy the life He has given you, you will do, and it will be great. If you will take up your cross daily and look in the mirror that He provides and respond to it day after day after day, you will find everything that you're looking for. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, follow then, please, the preaching of your word with the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And where, if because of human error in the preacher, there may have been something false or misleading in the preaching, cause that error to be quickly forgotten and do no harm. But if because of your grace working alone, there may have been some truth in the preaching, may that truth be burned into our hearts and minds and souls, that your truth might lead us in the everlasting way. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.